Bless you, Paul. Said already, but it's a great joy to be here today. I know that time is short and I'm Pentecostal. But you know, my journey with rugby really commenced 5 years ago. And I realized it was actually 5 years ago this weekend. I only realized that as I sat there. But my journey with rugby, and not just Rugby Ealing, but the town of Rugby, and started 5 years ago. And I became the senior pastor. I don't use those terminologies normally, but so that you can understand where that is, I became the senior pastor, lead pastor, 4 years ago, this coming September, so just 3 3/4 years, whatever it is. But I've fallen in love with rugby. I don't want anybody to talk rugby down. I love rugby. I love God's church in rugby. And it's amazing that we are one church. And Paul and I speak the same language, and we've been talking about this for so long, that there's only one church in rugby that is made up of different expressions, different congregations, but we make up one church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for me, this year has been amazing. As we've gathered together, if you didn't gather with us, you missed it, but we are continuing on the streets to pray and to worship together as the church. But it's been amazing. And let me just give you a glimpse into something that happened this morning. 2 weeks ago, we had a number of new people in Rugby Ealing. And I was chatting to a number of these people before the service began. And I went up to this person who is here today. And I said to this person, I said, hi, nice to meet you. And they've just moved new into rugby. And I said to them, it's great to see you today. You know, there's lots of churches in rugby, but there's only one church. But we make up the one church, the body of Christ. And I said to this person, the most important thing is that you find where God wants you to be. And then he asked me the question that has never been asked me before. What churches do you recommend in rugby? And my first response was Bilton Evangelical Church, Beck. And he's here today. And I'm like, isn't that amazing? And we could just think that is coincidence. I thought he probably was here last week, but he wasn't. He's here today. And for me, that just underlines what we're about. We're about being the church in rugby to shine the light of Jesus Christ. And I spoke to Paul just on the phone at week last Thursday, because as I was praying and I was thinking about today, I'm not going to be embarrassed to say this. This is not a fresh sermon. Because I felt that God spoke to something to me that I believe was for the church in rugby. And so just less than 12 months ago, I had the invitation to go to Railway Terrace, the Terrace Church. And I preached this sermon there. Will it sound different today? Will it come out different? Probably. But the crux of it is the message that I believe that God has placed on my heart for his church. Father, I thank you that you're the God who speaks today. God, I thank you that you love your church. God, that you're passionate about your church. And God, our desire is that we would be all that you've called us to be. Amen. Amen. So here we go. I believe that God calls his church to make way for the miracle. To make way for the miracle. And I really believe that the desire of God is that his church in rugby, his church worldwide, would be a people who make way for the miracle of God. The truth is, if we are ever going to see our town and our communities and our nations turned around and turn back to God, we need a miracle to take place. all of our good efforts, all of our good ideas are really not going to do it. My eyes may look a bit tired today. Last night, I was out with our street pastors not till 4 o'clock in the morning. I got home about 1 a.m. this morning. But as I walked through our town last night, my heart was breaking. Walked through the town with one of our counselors who I know personally quite well. And that's one of the reasons that I was out with our street pastors last night. And I drove him back to his house and he said these words to me that tomorrow morning when I wake up and I reflect on what I saw last night for a few hours, I will be really sad. Because people right now are filled with hopelessness. They're filled in a state of helplessness and despair. And the truth is that if we're ever going to see our communities, our nation, our towns, and the world turn back to God, if we're going to see the tide turn, it's really going to take a miracle. And we know that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by the Spirit of the living God. And in the midst of all that we see that at times is so dark and so difficult, I don't believe that God wants us to be filled with despondency and despair. But God wants us to be filled with hope. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That the one who worked in the past is still able to work in the present and in the future. That the God who we saw God do incredible things in the past, where God moved in revival power across our land. And today there's people in this room and representing different nations around the world. I haven't seen it yet, but Michael Palin this week, who was in Nigeria, and saw that place filled with 5,000 men and women worshiping and praising God. What God has done in Nigeria, I believe that God can do here in the UK, that God can do here in Rugby, that he can turn it around. And the thing is, though, that I don't believe that we can simply wait for the miracle. We need to be people who make way for the miracle. And throughout Scripture, time and time again, we see how different men and women who were men and women of faith, who were men and women of incredible hope, and therefore they did something in the natural to make way for the miracle. People like Naaman, people like the widow in 2 Kings chapter 4, who had nothing in her house except for a little oil. Joshua and the Israelites, as they faced Jericho, again, they made way for the miracle. Those people who stood at the tomb of Lazarus, when Jesus said to them, roll away the stone, what did they do again? They made way for the miracle. Jesus could have done it without them being involved, but he involved them. And in so doing, they made way for the miracle. Even the servants at the wedding of Cana at Galilee, again, God used them as they were obedient to what God had called them to do. Amazing things happened. They knew what it was for people to be healed. They knew what it was for provision to flow, for walls to come down, and even dead people to come back to life. Can you imagine what could truly happen in my day, in our day, if instead of simply waiting for miracles, we began to make way for the miracle as we obeyed what God has called us to do? Who is God calling right now to roll a stone away? Who's God calling right now to go and get some jars and get as many as you can? Who is God calling right now to walk around some walls that are in your life right now and to do it in faith, believing that God can cause the walls to come down? I want to read to you a passage of scripture from Exodus chapter 14. I think it will be on the screen for you today. Exodus 14 and verses 10 through to 22. I'm going to read it from there because I can see it better than putting my glasses on. It says there that when Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes. And behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward, lift up your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, so that they go in after them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host, his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. When I've gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen, then the angel of God was going before the host of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was the cloud and the darkness. And it lit up the night, without one coming near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind and all night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. What an incredible miracle took place on that day. As we see how God made a way through the Red Sea. If ever the people of God, the Israelites, faced a so-called impossible situation, the people of God did then. And the reason for this is because of the way in which Pharaoh and his officials had a change of mind. They'd let the Israelites go after they served for decades. Served the people of Egypt. And here they'd gone, they'd let them go. And then all of a sudden, they had a change of mind. They wanted to take them back into captivity. They wanted to take them back into slavery. And so Pharaoh, along with the army of Egypt, they began to pursue the Israelites who were marching out boldly. As they left Egypt, they must have been so ecstatic what God had done in their lives. So thrilled that God had performed miracle after miracle. And in the end, that Pharaoh said, "Let them go." It's no wonder that they were walking out boldly as they went on their way because of what God had done. What awesome power. What awesome provision the Israelites had experienced up until this point. And therefore, you would have thought that their faith levels would have been at an all-time high as they were being led by a pillar of fire and a cloud by day. And in verse 10, though, that we read there, that is when Pharaoh and all the Egyptians were marching after them, that they were terrified and they cried out to the Lord. As they looked up, they saw the enemy. And I wonder today, for us, the church, as we look up, what do we see right now? What do we see? Because do we see the size of our enemy, or do we see the size of our God? What do we see? Because right now, yes, things are dark and things are difficult in our nation, in our land. I remember last year we had a Pentecost Sunday, every Nation Sunday in November last year. It was an amazing morning. We had incredible food and the place was packed at Harris. So many people were there and it was a great time. And then in the afternoon, it was a light switch on in Rugby. And we had a presence in that light switch on as a church. And I went down there and I saw the masses and masses of people. And it came to the point when they were going to switch the lights on. I was so far away from the stage and I saw this mass of people. And I thought to myself, if we think we're doing okay, how deceived am I right now? Because there's literally hundreds and thousands of people in Rugby right now who are going to a lost eternity. There's hundreds and thousands of people right now who are in a place of despair, who are so bound up in everything else. But what do we see? Do we see the problem or do we see the power of God? And I believe, like the psalmist said in Psalm 121, we need to lift up our eyes to the hills. Where comes our help and our strength? It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. We need to lift up our eyes to him. And in the terror that these Israelites found themselves in, they turned on Moses and said, "What have you done to us? It would have been better for us to stay in Egypt." I mean, these people were desperate to get out of Egypt. And yet, because of the way that Pharaoh and the army was coming against them and coming to take them back, they were filled with terror, they were filled with fear, and they began to cry out, "Moses, what on earth have you done to us?" It's amazing, isn't it? How many people will gather in buildings similar to this today, who will gather in different places of worship, and at times will turn on leaders, will turn on pastors, will turn on ministers, will turn on eldership and leadership teams and say, "What on earth have you done to us? You brought us out into this." I'm sure it doesn't happen in Beck. You know, I remember just over 2 years ago now, some of you know about our story of Rugby Ealing, but we decided that we were going to leave our building behind us on a Sunday and move to Harris Academy. It was a massive step of faith for us. And I remember the Sunday where we had the celebration of that building, and we stood outside. We had a service in the building, and then afterwards went out into the courtyard. For those who've been to Rugby Ealing building, Cambridge Street, we went into the courtyard and we had the cannons going off, and we were singing Happy Day and just rejoicing and thanking God for all that God had done in the past and look forward to the future. It was a great day. But you know what? I woke up in the middle of the night going, "What on earth have I done?" Honestly, for what on earth have I done? I brought these people out of this building. I don't know where I know we're going to Harris, but we might be there for 3 months. They might kick us out. What are we gonna do? Thankfully, there wasn't a whole lot of people like the Israelites of old who were saying, "What have you done to us?" But who knows, that may happen in the future. I don't know. But you know, I love what Moses said unto the people. He simply says in verse 13, "Don't be afraid." And I don't know today where you might be in life right now. I don't know the enemy that is displaying, being displayed activity in your life, but I believe that God would speak into the hearts and lives of individuals, into the life of his church today, and say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Even though the enemy may be pursuing you right now, even though at times it seems like there's no way forward, don't be afraid, but rather make way for the miracle. This is truly what Moses was seeking to say unto the people of God back then. And what a man of faith Moses was. Because in verse 13, he simply says to them, stand firm. Stand firm. Pharaoh's coming. The Egyptians are coming. But Moses simply says unto the people, stand firm. He was saying that this is not a time to run. It's not a time to crumble, but rather this is a time to stand firm. I want to say to you as individuals today, this is not a time to crumble. This is not a time to run, but this is a time to stand firm. I believe it's a call for the church today that this is not a time for us to retreat. It's not a time for us to crumble in despair, but rather this is a time to stand firm. My dad was an Assemblies of God pastor. I'm a third generation Pentecostal preacher. And my dad used to say that people say this so often in the church, we're holding the fort. We're holding on for him to return. Listen, I get some of that, but my dad used to say this, burn the blessed fort. Burn the blessed fort. We're not called to retreat. We're not called to crumble in the midst of what may be going on at this time, but rather we are called to stand firm. The Apostle Paul proclaimed in Ephesians chapter 6 to put on the full armor of God. And when we've done all to stand, to keep on standing, it's not a time to compromise. It's not a time for us to compromise, but rather it's a time to stand. A time to stand on the promises of God. What did it say in Philippians 1 verse 16? That the one who started good work in us will bring it unto completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That is true for our individual lives. It's true for the life of Beck today. It's true, the promise that Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We're not called to crumble. We're not called to compromise, but rather we're called to stand firm. And then in verse 14, and we've heard about this already today, Moses makes it very clear that it's a time to be still. A time to stand and a time to be still. How difficult that must have been for the Israelites of old. As here is Pharaoh and the Egyptian army who were hot on their heels. I don't often find it easy to be still. But as we've heard already today, I thought Paul was going to preach this at the beginning. And the word that came to us, it's being still and waiting with anticipation, with incredible hope that God is going to come through. And I want to say to you today who may be facing some things right now, come on. This is a time to stand firm, but it's also a time to be still and allow God to come through on your behalf. For the life of his church today, There's a time to stand, and there is a time to be still. The thing is, though, that being still in the midst of the battle, in the midst of whatever crisis that we may face, is showing that our dependency is not upon us, but it's upon God. What did the psalmist say in Psalm 46, verse 10, 11? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in Rugby. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Be still and know that I am God. And I believe today that God says to his church, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth, not only in your life and my life, but in the whole of the nations, in all of the earth. I'm so glad that we can be still because God is with us. And maybe somebody just needs to hear that today. That God is with you. Yes, there's an enemy that is seeking to chase you down, but God is with you. So the Israelites were called to stand. They were called to be still. But there was a time when Moses said to them, now it's time to move on in verse 15. It's time to move on. What God said unto Moses that day, I believe that God has been saying the same to his church. Because sometimes we're crying out to God and God's saying, why are you crying out to me? I want you to move. I want you to move on. For the Israelites, they were in this predicament. They were in this place that wasn't a great place to be in. And they were crying out. Moses was crying out. But God spoke and said, why are you crying out to me? Move on. For Moses, it was time to stretch. God says, raise your staff in verse 16. Raise your staff. Stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. What a thing for God to ask Moses to do. I wonder today, what will God ask his church in Rugby to do? What does that look like? Even on Thursday night, as we stood outside the town hall, and there wasn't crowds of us, but we stood outside the town hall and we worshiped together and we prayed together. Ian led us amazingly in worship. I tell you what, we looked weird. And we sounded probably a bit weird as well. But am I willing to be weird to see God move in revival power in our land right now? Because you know, I'm sorry, time need to keep going. But I stood back in 1996, I think it was 1995. In a place where I saw God doing something incredible. In a place called Pensacola. And get over it if you've got some feelings about it. God was doing something at that point. As I stood in a room and literally saw people running to the altar. And people putting their lives right with God. The tangible sense of the presence of God. I said, God, I will never, ever be satisfied until I see you moving in revival power where we see a mighty move of God. And some people look at what's happened in Rugby Elim over the past number of years and thank you, God. But there's so much more yet to come. And I'm saying, God, whatever it takes. And if that means at times, it means that we're going to have to take a staff and we're going to have to hold it up and we're going to have to stretch out a hand, God. What does that look like? It doesn't matter what people say. It matters what God says. In the natural, it seemed impossible. But in the supernatural realm, it was possible. What a moment it must have been. For Moses, as he stood on the bank of the Red Sea, and he stretched out his hand. What a moment. As he held up his staff and he stretched out his hand. All the eyes of the Israelites, whoever could see him, must have been looking at him on that day. I wonder, as he stood there, what people were thinking. What on earth is he doing? I wonder how many times some of you have looked at Paul and thought, what on earth is he doing? It doesn't matter what earth thinks. It matters what heaven thinks. What on heaven is Paul doing? And for Moses, he stood there. And there must have been some people who thought he's lost it. What on earth is he doing? They stood there in unbelief. We just need to get out of here. But they must have changed when they saw the waters beginning to part. Wow. Their mouths must have dropped in awe and wonder. And I want to say today that at times, I believe that God calls us to stretch out our hand. And I want to say this today, that God is in the stretch. God is in the stretch. And I believe that God is calling to his church today and saying to his church, in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the darkness, I want you to stand firm. I want you to be still at times, but when I say stretch, are you willing to stretch? You know, just over 2 years ago, I was amazed by what took place. So I arrived in Rugby and it was COVID. Anybody asked me how it's going, I'd be like, I ain't got a clue. But one of the things I wouldn't recommend is that you start pastoring a new church in COVID, in a pandemic. Forget it. But I got really frustrated because there was so little that we could do. It was like in, out, shake it all about. We're in the building, we're not out. We can do this, we can't do that. And then eventually, I can't remember the year now. Is anybody like that? I just get so all mixed now with the years. But I was like, okay, next year I'm just going to plan. I don't care what's going to happen. I'm just going to plan. And so I sat down with a year planner and we sat down and I mapped out the year and I took it to our eldership team. They're like, oh, this is amazing. Because I think up to that point, they thought I got no vision. I got vision, but I just couldn't do anything about it because of the pandemic. And they said to me, I said, we've got to get this to the church. And cut a long story short, we said, okay, we're going to meet in Harris 4 or 5 times next year. And the first time was in February, we're going to go. But God was beginning to do something. And we saw some people come into relationship with God, saw some people getting baptized in water and baptized in the Holy Spirit. And God was doing some things and some growth was taking place. Every church in Rugby right now should be growing. Because the town of Rugby is one of the fastest growing towns in the nation. It's got to happen. Because people are moving from all over the world and people that are fired up for Jesus. And so all of a sudden, we're growing. And I'd never had a service in Harris. The church had done a service previously before I arrived. And they hadn't met there. And that week, I felt God was speaking to me in February before we were going to be there on the Sunday. And I felt God was speaking to me and saying to me, John, it's time to move. It's time to move. Stop praying. It's time to move. And I went on our WhatsApp and I realized that not every church can do this. Not every Elim church is in a place to do this. And I went on to our elders and I said, guys, it could just be me. But I think we need to move and move now. And on WhatsApp, we made the decision that we were going to move to Harris on a Sunday. Now, I know that's a bit radical, and I wouldn't recommend it to most people, but that's how it went. And on that first Sunday, We met in Harris, a few things were asked me. One of the things that people asked me, the question, how many chairs do we put out? I went, 500. They went, pardon? 500? And we put 500 chairs out on our first Sunday in Harris. And then I stood on the platform and however many people were there that day, it definitely wasn't 500 people, and people looking around at all these chairs and thinking he's lost it. He's really lost the plot. And then I stood on the platform and I was hovering and my eldership was on the front light and I'm saying, guys, I don't know if I should do it. And they're like, just go for it, John. And I just announced that next week we're going to come into Harris Academy. We're going to try and negotiate that we can come and meet here every Sunday until God tells us otherwise. And the place applauded and cheered and we made the move. Has there been a cost? Yes. Is there a cost? Yes, there is. Sometimes people say to me, you know, Jonathan, will we ever be satisfied? No. Not until the whole world is won for Jesus. Not until the whole world are fully committed disciples of Jesus. And we've gone to Daventry, and I don't know where we'll end up going in the future. Because I really believe that it's time for God's church to stretch. God is in the stretch. And what a miracle God performed that day as all the Israelites went through on dry ground. And I truly believe that we, in our own individual lives, that we as the church in Rugby and beyond, that we can see some incredible miracles taking place, even though it's difficult right now. And I believe that we can make way for the miracle. And I want to encourage us today. Where do we need to stand firm? Right now, there's a whole lot of stuff out there that is saying, don't stand on what the Word of God says. Beck, I want to encourage you, stand on what the Word of God says. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God remains forever and forever. We need to stand firm on the Word of God. And in the midst of it all, we need to be still. And we need to recognize that God is God. And I don't know what the stretch will be for you as a local church, but I want to encourage you today to keep on stretching. I don't know if Jeff can come back and just maybe just play behind me, is that okay? But there is a stretch. And as I said already, there is a cost. But you know what? The greatest stretch that was ever made was when Jesus left the glory and splendor of heaven to come to earth. And if he was willing to do that for us, are we willing to stretch for our world right now? And the stretch may be tomorrow morning as you go and shop in Tesco Express across the road. That means there are times that we break out of our comfort zone in order to embrace somebody else. You know, one of my greatest mission fields has been that on a Friday night, my youngest daughter, Hope, who's with me today, she does football training. And you know, sometimes it's cold and it's wet. And sometimes I'd be like, Hope, do you just go and play football? I'll sit in the car. I can get up on my sermon for the Sunday. I can pray if it else. But my stretch is I need to stand on the sideline. Because on the sideline, I engage with people. And that's why my dad used to say, burn the blessed fort. Because we're not simply holding on. There's a whole world out there who need you. And they need me. And some of you I know are sat there right now and saying, but you're an extrovert. Am I? I don't know if I am really. But I love Jesus. And I want to see salvation and deliverance come to our town. I want the tide to turn. And you know what? It's going to turn for you and for me. Yes, I'm going to repeat what I said, because it's not by might, it's not by power. It is by the Spirit of the living God. But God uses you and He uses me. So our time is up. But I'm going to invite some people today who you know that God has spoken to you. And there's something within you that's been like, I just want to run. But God's saying, come on, it's time to stand. And I'm not going to make this easy, because I've got nothing to lose. If that's you, will you just stand where you are right now? Come on. Is anybody else? That's good. It's good. Stand. When you've done all to stand, keep on standing. Don't crumble. Don't compromise. But stand. Stand. Don't worry about me. I'm okay. Sometimes people worry about me because I get emotional. I tell you what, God created me to be me. With my emotions and everything else. And God created you to be you. But stand. God, I just pray for these people that are standing right now, Father. Pray, God, minister your strength unto your children. That they would stand in the strength and in the power of your Holy Spirit, Father. No crumbling and no compromising. And God, in the midst of their standing, they would be still in your presence, knowing that you are the great I am, that you're the one who never fails us. You're the ever dependable one. Holy Spirit, more we pray. Holy Spirit, more we pray. Just encourage those who are standing. If you can, just remain standing just for a few moments. And there's some people here today, you know that God has been asking you to do something. He's been asking you to do something for a while. But for whatever reason, you haven't done it. But if that's you today and you're saying, God, I'm willing to stretch. Because for some of you, you've been standing. For some of you, you've been still. But God said that it's now time to move on. It's time to stretch. And it might not just be individually, but for the life of Beck today. It's time to stretch. And if that's you today and you're saying, God, I'm willing to stretch. At the expense of being mocked at times. Of people even looking at me and going, you're weird. But God, I'm willing to do whatever you ask me to do. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to stand right now. And as you stand, maybe even just put your arms out to signifying, God, I'm willing to stretch. Because God is in the stretch. Ooh, Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. We worship you, King Jesus. We worship you, King Jesus. Jesus. Oh. The sense of my spirit, there's more people who need to stand and stretch. Oh, if we can't stretch here, we won't stretch anywhere. We won't stretch out there in the world if we don't stretch out here in the family of God. Now, God, as we stretch, we ask God that in your time, that God, the miracles would take place in Jesus' name. Father, I stretch over this local church today, God, and I pray miracles upon miracles. In Jesus' name, I pray. For more salvation, for more baptisms, for more healings, more signs and wonders. Let it break out in increasing measure in this place. Oh, God. Even right now, God, miracle working God. Signs and wonders, I pray in Jesus' name. God, I stretch. We stretch over our town today, Father. God, we stand on the promises that you've made in the past. And God, that you said out of Rugby, there would be a move of your Holy Spirit, Father. And God, we stretch in faith. We stretch in faith. For you to move, God. More of you, God. God, may we stand on the banks, as it were. May we not waver in unbelief. But God, may we stand in belief, Father. In Jesus' name.